Hare Krishna. Today we shall discuss a very instructive incident from the time of Srila Madhavendra Puri's departure from this world. We have before us two examples. One that shows how a disciple or a devotee should act and the results that come from it. And another example of how a devotee or disciple should not act and the results that come from that. So we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 8. Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. The following summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. This chapter describes the history of the Lord's dealings with Ramachandra Puri. Although Ramachandra Puri was one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, he was influenced by dry Mayavadis, and therefore he criticized Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri accused him of being an offender and rejected him. Because Ramachandra Puri had been rejected by his spiritual master, he became concerned only with finding faults in others and advising them according to dry Mayavada philosophy. For this reason, he was not very respectful to the Vaishnavas, and later he became so fallen that he began criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating. Hearing his criticisms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his eating. But after Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, the Lord resumed his usual behavior. Text 1. Tam Bande Krishna Chaitanyam Ram Chandra Pure Bayat Lokika Arata Swamyo Dikshanam Samakochayat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Jaya Jaya Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Jaya
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Jaya verses just to give you an idea of Ramachandra Puri's behavior, and then we'll come to the actual pastime with Madhavendra Puri. But basically, Ramachandra Puri would invite Vaishnavas for prasad, and then he would induce them to eat more and more and more, which is not unusual. Once I was invited by some devotees for prasad in Durban, South Africa, with His Holiness Indradumi Swami. And the way they were serving the prasad, we kept thinking that this was the last preparation. So we thought, okay, well, we'll eat because the meal is almost over. And then they would bring another preparation. Think, oh, well, this must be the last one. And they just kept bringing more and more preparations. And I was starting to feel quite uncomfortable. And I turned to His Holiness Indradumi Swami and I said, what do we do? And he said, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should not eat too much or eat too little. Today we are focusing on not eating too little. So anyway, but Ramachandra Puri, he had a hidden motive. He wanted to find fault with the Vaishnavas. And so after inviting Jagadananda and forcing him to eat more and more and more, he rebuked him and said, I have heard that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat more than necessary. Now I have directly seen that this is true. The characteristic of Ramachandra Puri was that first he would induce someone to eat more than necessary, and then he would criticize them. And now Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the history. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura. Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. He said, if you are in full transcendental bliss, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? Reported by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman realized person is always happy. Nasochati nakamshati, he neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. There are many such statements in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Upanishads and other scriptures that one should not hanker or lament. And certainly we should not hanker to gain material things or lament over the loss of material things. But the material world is an inverted reflection of the spiritual world. And everything that exists in the material world also exists in the spiritual world. But spiritually, everything is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So Madhavendra Puri was lamenting in a humble mood of ecstatic love for being unable to attain Krishna. And that is a very important contribution in our life. And that is to hanker for Krishna in the mood of separation. And part of the mood of separation is that one feels oneself very lonely and fallen and unqualified. So Madhavendra Puri, being on the highest platform, felt himself most unqualified. And Ramachandra Puri, being a very fallen disciple, thought himself to be very advanced. Text 22. Hearing this instruction that he should not lament, but be happy in Brahman, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Bengali is dura dura apishta bali. Purport. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. When he was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna, I could not reach Mathura," this was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri, but nevertheless he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expressions as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman, because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool, and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. Text 23. Oh, my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness. And now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Then he told Ramachandra Puri, "Mora murke na deka bi tui yau yati tati. Tore deki maile mora habe asad gati. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. Now, this statement by Srila Madhavendra Puri reminds me of a statement that Srila Prabhupada made. Srila Prabhupada was an ocean of mercy, and he practically never rejected anyone. In fact, there was one incident in Bombay when one disciple was behaving, I won't go into the details, but he was behaving in a very bad way. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, actually there are two parts to this. Yeah, all right, so in the first part, that's right, one of Prabhupada's early disciples was in Calcutta, and he was smoking hashish. And so the temple president didn't know what to do. So he phoned Srila Prabhupada, who was in Bombay from Calcutta, and asked. It was very unusual to phone Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada didn't directly take the call, but his secretary took it and relayed the message. The temple president was asking what to say because it was such a senior disciple. And Srila Prabhupada said, tell him that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him. And after the phone call, some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you would reject him? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I cannot reject anyone. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada said, the mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limits. So that was Srila Prabhupada's move. But once, one of his disciples who had been his personal servant left. And then after some time, he came back to see Srila Prabhupada. But he was in a different mood. And he said to Srila Prabhupada that I never really liked Krishna consciousness, never really liked the devotees, and so I left. And Srila Prabhupada replied, good, I'm glad you left. Now I don't have to look at your morose face anymore. So, of course, on a deeper level, Prabhupada wasn't glad that he left, but because he was saying, in effect, he was saying, I didn't like your company. That's what he was saying. And so Prabhupada reciprocated. Well, good, because we didn't like your company either. But anyway, don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. I'm dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna. And therefore, I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. 26. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. Purport. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, a person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Sandarbha 1.11, wherein it is said, Jivan mukta api purnar yanti samsara vasana yadya chinta maha shakta bhagavatya paradina. Even though one is liberated in this life, if he offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one. So we've been discussing, speaking about others, vacho vega, controlling the urge to speak, and understanding the subtleties of Vaishnava Aparada. And as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one who speaks unnecessarily about others will not be able to fix his mind on Krishna. And he is an offender against the lotus feet of Bhakti Devi. And here we're seeing a practical demonstration. And the result of committing offenses is that one develops material desires. One can become filled with material desires, which of course will take us the opposite direction. In his Labhu Toshini commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, Jiva Goswami says, even if one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A similar quotation from one of the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya. Quote, even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires, but those who fully engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. So on Friday, we discussed the mad elephant offense, which is Vaishnava Aparad, or in particular, Gurur Avagya. And Lord Chaitanya advised that one should protect the devotional creeper by fencing it all around. And what is the fencing? The circle of pure devotees. We should stay within the circle of pure devotees. And that will protect us. And, of course, there are many ways of seeing Ramchandra Puri's fallen condition, but it appears that he had no real good association, but he was just wandering here and there according to his fancy. 27. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his Anubhasya that the word Nirbandha indicates that Ramachandra Puri had a steady desire to criticize others. Impersonalist Mayavadis, who have no relationship with Krishna, cannot take to devotional service, and who simply impersonalist Mayavadis who have no relationship with Krishna, who cannot take to devotional service, and who simply engage in material arguments to understand Brahman, regard devotional service to Krishna as karmakanda or fruitive activities. According to them, devotional service to Krishna is but another means for attaining dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Therefore, they criticize the devotees for engaging in material activities. They think that devotional service is maya, and that Krishna or Vishnu is also maya. Therefore, they are called mayavadis. Such a mentality awakens in a person who is an offender to Krishna and his devotees. So there are people in the guise of Vaishnavas who are actually Mayavadis. Srila Prabhupada described them. Lord Chaitanya's path, but Shankara's math. Shankara's math is 1 + 1 = 1. In other words, the living entity merges with the Supreme Brahman and becomes one. And the only antidote for that offensive mentality is to become the humble servant of the servant of the servant of Vaishnavas. So, as we discussed yesterday, although one should not speak about others, sometimes a guru will speak about others to make his point clear. And therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is speaking about Madhavendra Puri. He's giving a negative example for us. And now he will give the positive example. 28. Ishwara Puri, who became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishvara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Ishvara Puri received the blessing of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishvara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. In perhaps 1996, my material father became very sick and was suffering from cancer and was being treated in a hospital in Chicago. And the family felt that someone should always be with him, and that someone should spend the night with him. And my father had only two children, and my sister had to take care of my mother and her young son, so I was the logical choice to be the one to stay with my father. So there was a like a sofa in my father's hospital room, and so I was to spend the night on the sofa. Not a very plush one, but it was fine, it was adequate. And my father's condition was such that he was unable to get out of bed on his own strength. So if he had to get out of bed, I had to help him. And quite frequently, I think because of the cancer, he had to go to the bathroom. So I would have to help him from the hospital bed across the room to the bathroom. And sometimes he would make it in time and sometimes he wouldn't. And when he didn't, I would clean up. It was, of course, it was exhausting emotionally. It was also exhausting physically, because I was in such a state of vigilance. If I heard a sound, I thought, oh, it might be my father who might need my help. And so I couldn't sleep. And if by chance I was able to doze off, very soon I'd hear some sound and think, oh, it might be my father needing help. And many times it was. So I was completely exhausted. And it was a struggle. It was a very difficult time. And then, around dawn, when you could see some light through the window shade. My father sort of asked me to come to his bedside. It was a hospital bed. And he said, what would you do if I gave you $1 million? So I really had no thought of that. And I, but he asked, so I said something. And that was the end of the discussion. Now, coincidentally, His Holiness Radhanath Swami was also in Chicago at the time. And in fact, he was scheduled to visit me on, not at that particular time, but later, when my father actually came to the stage of leaving his body. His Holiness Radhanath Swami was in Chicago. And he was to visit me on a Sunday. He was going to drive up. But the nurse who was attending to my father at home said that the signs are there that he's going to be leaving. So I phoned Radhanath Swami and told him that it looks like my father will be leaving very soon. So maybe come in a few days. My father left that night. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami came maybe 3 days later. And I related to him the incident of my taking care of my father in the hospital, cleaning up the stool in the urine, just giving myself fully to his care, and how at the end of the night he said, you know, what would you do if I gave you $1 million? And Radhanath Swami said, it's just like Manavendra Puri and Ishvara Puri. Manavendra Puri wanted to give Ishvara Puri the greatest treasure he possessed, which was ecstatic love of Godhead, the spiritual. And your father wanted to give you, you know, the greatest treasure he possessed, according to his conception, which was money. But that was his way of wanting to reciprocate. And I had actually had the same thought myself, but I didn't say it to His Holiness Radhanath Swami. Radhanath Swami himself had the same thought. Of course, well, in my own way, I did try to help my father become Krishna conscious, but it wasn't on the same level as Ishvara Puri and Manavendra Puri. But we can see the type of service that Ishvara Puri rendered, that on the physical platform he served like a menial servant, personally cleaning up his stool and urine. And spiritually, he would recite verses and sing songs about Krishna to enhance his spiritual master's remembrance of Krishna at the end. And of course, that's the goal Antaranayana Smriti to remember Krishna at the final moment. So this is an example of how we can serve each other as devotees. We have discussed how we can serve each other physically and emotionally and spiritually. And especially as the devotee approaches the time of death, everything is more critical. Of course, we never know when we'll die, and therefore every moment is critical, really. But when we know that death is approaching, everything is critical. And we can render very special service to devotees at that time. And they can bless us. Every Vaishnava is in a position to give blessings. And certainly if we serve them in this way, we can get their blessings. Just read a little bit more. His divine grace, Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. Ayi dina dayakranatha hai, mathura natha kadabalokyase, hridayam tvad aloka kataram, dayita brahmyati kim karam yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? 35. In this verse, Madhavendra Puri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. Now this verse is discussed in detail earlier in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And although the words seem simple enough and clear enough, but the deep purport could be understood by only three persons. Who are the three persons? This is not speculation. I'm just asking for you to think. Who do you think the three persons are who could understand the deep purport of Srila Madhavendra Puri's words? Raise your hand. Sorry? Yes. One is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, Srimati Radharani. And three, Srila Madhavendra Puri. No fourth person to understand fully the deep meaning of the verse. And it's described that the more one considers the verse, the more its meanings come out. It's like Chaitanya Charitamrita says, it's like rubbing sandalwood, like more fragrance comes out. And these deep moods have been revealed to us first by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Bengali, and to us in English by Srila Prabhupada by his efforts, his books, and his disciples' cooperation. His books have been translated in many languages. So we are being given access to very deep, profound, spiritual sentiments and moods. And it really, as Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, it is by such feelings of separation that one becomes spiritually situated. And to feel separation, there has to be some attachment. If there's no attachment for someone, you won't feel separation. There has to be attachment. And of course, our goal is to transfer our attachment to Krishna and his pure devotees. I have one little experience of my own, not on a very high level, but it does illustrate the point that one year I went to spend maybe 2 weeks on the island of St. Lucia in the Caribbean with a nice Vaishnava couple, Dharmaraj and Prema Mandri, and their two daughters. And it's a long story because there was a hurricane and but anyway, in the end, somehow, Srila Tathagata Swami saw on the news that there was a hurricane in St. Lucia, and all the, you know, not only all the flights were canceled, the airport was shut down, and somehow he had the foresight, because he knew my passport name, to try to book me on a flight. And we couldn't do anything. All the phone lines were down. It was like, and he did, you know, otherwise I could have been stuck there for quite a while. But, you know, the drive from our host's home to the airport, and it was quite scenic. I've driven that way a number of times. And I was usually, I mean, I would have my hand in my bean bag and be reciting the Maha Mantra, but, you know, I, at the same time, couldn't really help but notice the scenery, some of the billboards, those different things. But that day, I was feeling so much separation from having to leave. And also it was a wonderful facility. I was able to do a lot of chanting, a lot of reading, a lot of writing. So it was like, so I was feeling separation, you know, from the family, from my service there. And in that mood of separation, I had no interest in the scenery, in the shops, in the billboards, but I just, you know, took shelter of the holy name. So feelings of separation are really necessary. Feelings of separation from Krishna and his pure devotees. And those feelings should be put into taking shelter of Krishna and the pure devotees through the chanting of the holy names. But anyway, we take shelter of them through scripture, through following their instructions. And that way we can feel their association. And for us who have come to this retreat, we've gotten a lot of association, and to different degrees, we now will be in separation. But that's also not bad. It's not bad, actually. It's good. Especially if we, if those feelings of separation make us want to take more shelter of Krishna and his pure devotees through bhakti yoga. So I think we'll, there, because of lack of time and because of the mood of the retreat, I didn't have the opportunity to speak of the spiritual counterpart to all of these so-called defects, like hankering and lamenting. It really exists spiritually. And in that discussion of dharya, patience, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one who controls these six urges, he can develop dharya or patience. And he also says that there are six, what we usually consider enemies, kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, and matsarya. And he quotes Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who says that if we can, like, dovetail these six enemies in devotional service, then we can attain dharya. And I know them, but it'll be nicer if I read them. I won't read the Bengali. It's from Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And Narottam Das Thakur says, I will engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy, and pride in appropriate ways. And by defeating these enemies, I will feel happiness in my heart as I peacefully worship Govinda. I will engage lust by offering it in Krishna's service. Lust or kama means desire. So we can dovetail kama by desiring to serve Krishna, by desiring things for Krishna's pleasure. A simple example Srila Prabhupada gave, that an ordinary boy who's in love with a girl will see a nice flower and think, oh, I can give this flower to my girlfriend. And a devotee who's developing love for Krishna will see the same flower. Oh, this, I can offer this flower to Krishna. Anger I will direct towards those who are envious of the devotees. You have to be careful about that one. It should be done, in other words, not in an uncontrolled way. I mean, that's the basic principle, to keep our urges under control. But it can be used in Krishna's service. I think of one incident that took place at the first Delhi Pandal. And at that time, we had the LIC grounds in Connaught Place. It's a really prominent location. And every day, probably 30,000 people came, maybe more. And there were a number of political leaders who were coming and doing service, supporting the effort, even making announcements. And one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, these politicians, they really want to get votes by being associated with us. You know, they feel the huge numbers of people, pious people who are coming, will vote for them if they're associated with us. And Srila Prabhupada said, if someone takes advantage of us, and by their doing so we don't lose, then we don't mind. So he understood their motive, but he didn't mind because we weren't losing. So one evening, Srila Prabhupada did something extraordinary. I mean, everything he did was extraordinary, but this was extra extraordinary. And a hooligan came to the front of the stage. By hooligan, I mean, I don't really know if he was Australian, but he, you know, he had a very muscular build, he had long, flowing hair, and he had like a leather vest and chains, and he was a very wild looking, and tattoos, which back then, respectable people didn't have tattoos much. So as he was approaching the stage, Prabhupada's disciples became concerned, and they were ready to sort of, you know, push him back or escort him away. And Srila Prabhupada said, let him come. So he climbed up onto the stage. And Prabhupada said, give him asan. All right, so the devotees gave him a cushion. And Prabhupada said, keep microphone. Put a microphone in front of him. And he immediately challenged Srila Prabhupada. He said, I mean, there are a few challenges, but one was, you know, how old is the Bhagavad Gita? And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, in its most recent rendition, 5,000 years. And then the boy said, well, according to my sources, and then he came up with his whole theory of all the Bhagavad Gita was. Prabhupada said, that's nonsense. So it was going on like this. And finally the voice, he asked a question, and Prabhupada said, no, I want to ask you a question now. What is the process for understanding the Bhagavad Gita? And the boy said, no, you answer my question. I ask you first. The Prabhupada said, I'm not your servant. I don't have to answer your question. You answer my question. What is the process for understanding the Bhagavad Gita? And it became a huge argument. And then Prabhupada motioned, no. Okay, you can remove him now. So, the big strong disciples came and lifted him up and took him off the stage and escorted him away. Now, this incident created a huge uproar in the audience. In fact, the audience became polarized. There were those who sided with the boy. I say boy, young man. And there were those who sided with Srila Prabhupada. And the ones who sided with Srila Prabhupada, they remained in their seats to hear what Srila Prabhupada would say. And the other ones were very agitated. And a lot of them left their seats. And at the time, I was at the audience distributing books. And they started to surround us. And they were saying, your Guru Maharaj should have answered his question. Your Guru Maharaj got angry. He didn't exactly really get angry, but he did make his position clear. And so it was a very volatile situation. So I and some of the others who were in the audience, we started to make our way towards the area of the stage. And these politicians, like one of them in particular, he was very upset because he was associating himself with Srila Prabhupada and the program to become popular and get votes. And now, the audience was in arms. So, sort of behind the stage, this politician, he was very upset and said, your Guru Maharaj has ruined everything. And Mother Malati was there. I hope you don't mind my quoting your... And Mother Malati was there. And she said, my Guru Maharaj has not spoiled anything. And she slapped him. In my mind, this is a perfect example of dovetailing anger. And then Srila Prabhupada proceeded to explain what is the method for understanding the Bhagavad Gita. And he had actually used the example of the young man to show what the process is not. In other words, you can't challenge the authority of the representative of Krishna who's coming in parampara. And he was quoting all sorts of crazy things, certainly not in parampara. So, yeah, it was really, And then, afterwards, so Srila Prabhupada was staying in a house, and some, maybe American young man, had come to the Pandal, and he was very inspired, extremely inspired. And he got the address and he came to the house to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he was very eloquent, and he said that if Krishna consciousness spreads all over the world, everyone will come to love each other, and there will be no more hatred or anger. And Srila Prabhupada said, anger? Is there something wrong with anger? Did anyone tell you there's something wrong with anger? And then he said that Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita just to make Arjuna angry. Because Arjuna was not willing to fight. And Krishna wanted him to fight and kill him. You can't fight and kill unless you're angry. So Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita to make Arjuna angry. So there's been a lot of discussion about avoiding, anger. And certainly we shouldn't direct anger towards devotees. Unless, like Prabhupada, one, there may be some anger for the sake of removing an obstacle in a devotee's spiritual life. Like, material anger arises when one's lust, when one's material lust is frustrated. So, if one's desire to serve Krishna is frustrated due to some obstacle, one can use one's anger to remove that obstacle. And that obstacle can be external or internal, within the heart. And but it's always controlled. That's what it is. It's always controlled. But we should not have sort of vague sentimental conception of what Krishna consciousness is. We are Krishna's a person, and we are persons. And every sentiment that exists in the material world exists in the spiritual world in its pure, unadulterated form. And the process of bhakti yoga means that we realize ourselves fully as spiritual persons. And that means that we have every sentiment that Krishna has, every sentiment that anyone has, except that the center is Krishna and love for Krishna. So many of these things, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami has been emphasizing, we need superior guidance. And we shouldn't just sort of lose our temper out of frustrated lust. And so I'm dovetailing my... You're actually envious of devotees. And Narottam Das Thakur says that you should get angry at those who are envious of devotees. So we can't be that foolish. But we do need to become fully self-realized, which means every sentiment that is there in Krishna, which is every sentiment, and is there in ordinary conditioned souls can be purified and engaged come in the service of Krishna and the devotees. I am very grateful for having had this opportunity to be here. And I'm very hopeful about the future of the Krishna consciousness movement. Seeing so many of you, seeing the youth, I mean, we call them the youth. Maybe I should say the next generation. Some of them aren't that young. Not that old, but not that young. And yeah, it's very exciting and encouraging. And we're all part of it, you know, by Srila Prabhupada's grace and the devotees' grace, we're all part of it. And we should, you know, give everything we can. Last night, His Grace Gauravani Prabhu quoted a Hopi Indian saying that we are the people we've been waiting for. And the idea is, you know, we may be waiting, like, for some Messiah to drop out of the sky, but actually we're the people we've been waiting for. We just have to rise to the occasion. And so the purpose of these wonderful festivals is to encourage and inspire us to rise to the occasion and to give us some good instructions that will help inform us in the process of rising to the occasion. So I thank you very much, and I'll be hoping to be seeing more of you today and tomorrow and eternally. As Srila Prabhupada said, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. And he wrote this in a letter to one devotee who was having difficulty in some of his relationships with the other devotees. And so Srila Prabhupada wrote, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky, and you will go. And then he mentioned another devotee where there might have been a little conflict, and he will go. And then again, another one, he will go. And then he said, but Mr. Nair, he will not go. And actually that devotee had met Mr. Nair very early. He might have even been the first one. But yeah. He said, you will go, and Shamsundar will go, and everyone will go, but only Mr. Nair, he cannot go. But by Prabhupada's grace, he may also go in some lifetime. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So, until the altar.